जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदश श्री हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोदश श्री हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथरा श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 29 एंटाइटल्ड भक्ति योग टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। देशान पुण्यान आश्रयेत मद्भक्तैः साधुभिश्रितान् देवासुरमनुष्येषु मद्भक्ताचरितानि च देशान् पुण्यान् आश्रयेत मद्भक्तैः साधुभिश्रितान् देवासुरमनुष्येषु मद्भक्ताचरितानि च देशान् पुण्यान् आश्रयेत मद्भक्तैः साधुभिश्रितान् देवासुरमनुष्येषु मद्भक्ताचरितानि च देशान् पुण्यान् आश्रयेत मद्भक्तैः साधुभिश्रितान् देवासुरमनुष्येषु भक्ताचरितानि च देशान् पुण्यान् आश्रयेत मद्भक्तै साधुभिश्रितान् देवासुरमनुष्येषु मद्भक्ताचरितानि च देशान् पुण्यानाश्रयेत देवासुरमनुष्येषु मद्भक्ताचरितानि च वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन देशान प्लेसेस पुण्यान सैक्रेड आश्रयेत ही शुड टेक शेल्टर ऑफ मद्भक्तै बाय माय डिवोटीज साधु भी सेंटली श्रितान रिसॉर्टेड टू देव among the demigods, asura, demons, manushyeshu, and human beings, madbhakta of my devotees, acharitani, the activities, cha, and translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, one should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside. And one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees who appear among the demigods, demons and human beings. Purport. Narada Muni is one of the great devotees of the Lord who appeared among the demigods. Prahlad Maharaj appeared among the demons. And many other great devotees such as Ambarisha Maharaj and the Pandavas appeared among the human beings. One should take shelter of the devotees' exemplary activities and also the holy places where the devotees reside. Thus, one will remain safe on the path of devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Yiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We are in the last chapter of the Uddhava Gita, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. After this chapter, in the next two chapters, the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty and the disappearance of Krishna, they are described by Sukadeva Goswami. But in this particular chapter, Lord Krishna is giving his concluding instructions to Uddhava. We already discussed that how Uddhava expressed his gratitude towards Krishna. So in today's verse, Lord Krishna is saying, Deshan Punyan Ashrayeta Mad Bhaktai Sadhubishritan. ఆశ్రయేత యూ మస్ట్ గో అండ్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఇన్హాబిటెడ్ బై మై డివోటీస్ ద పయస్ హోలీ ప్లేసెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్హాబిటెడ్ బై మై డివోటీస్ మద్భక్తే సాధుభి శ్రితాన్ అండ్ దేవాసుర మనుష్యేషు మద్భక్త చరితాని చ My devotees have appeared in various species among the devatas and among the human beings and also among the asuras. There are different examples which are given in the purport, just like Narada Muni has appeared among the devas, Prahlad Maharaj has appeared among the demons, and there are devotees like Ambarish Maharaj and the Pandavas and various other devotees who appeared among the human beings. So we see in this particular verse, Krishna is mainly telling to Uddhava that you must go to holy places and take shelter of the association of the devotees of the Lord. And especially, be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees. So in today's class, I just want to speak about this theme of the association of the devotees of the Lord. I'll try to go through some of the verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam where the association of the devotees is actually emphasized. So, Dhruva Maharaj, this is one of the famous verses which we often quote, how Dhruva Maharaj prayed for the association of the devotees. So, when the Lord appeared, Dhruva Maharaj said, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam Twayime prasango Bhuyad Ananta Mahatam Amalashayanam Yenanja Solbanam Uru Vyasanam Bhavabdim Neshye Bhavad Gunakatam Rita Panamatta. He says that Bhuyad Ananta Mahatam Amalashayanam. Let me have the association of your great devotees who are purified by bhaktim muhu pravahatam, who are purified by continuously rendering devotional service unto you. So pravaha means like continuous flow. Let me get the association of your great devotees who are actually purified by your continuous devotional service. And the Lord Vishnu Chakotipad, he writes the purports in a dialogue fashion. The Lord is asking Dhruva Maharaj, but are you not afraid of overcoming the material existence? You are asking for the association of the devotees, but how will you actually cross over this material existence? So Dhruva Maharaj, with great pride, he speaks. So this is an example of a spiritual pride. With great pride, he says, Yena anja solbanam uru vyasanam bhavabdim. Yena anjasa. Like by the association of the devotees, I will very easily cross over this material ocean, which is very terrible in nature. Uru vyasanam bhavabdim. Neshye bhavat gunakatamrita panamatta. Because in the association of the devotees, I will become intoxicated with Krishna Katha. And just like when a person is in an intoxicated condition, like he becomes oblivious to the normal sufferings of this world. Like he becomes oblivious to the normal sufferings because in an intoxicated state. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj is saying, when I become intoxicated with hearing Krishna Katha, I will very easily cross this ocean of material existence. I will be completely oblivious to that. So Prabhupada also says that, he says that bhakti, which is composed of hearing and chanting and other activities, these activities will not be sweet without the association of the devotees. So just like even in the case of a drunkard, somebody drinking alone and somebody drinking in the company of other drunkards. Like people take pleasure in the drinking in the company of other people, but that gives greater pleasure than drinking alone. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj says that bhakti, when it is performed in the association of the devotees, it is much, much sweeter than when it is performed without the association of the devotees. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj speaks so beautifully about the association of the devotees. In one class, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentioned, there are two kinds of pure devotees. One is those people who are actually, who are completely purified of their material desires, who are maybe in the stage of love for Krishna. That is one kind of pure devotee. Another kind of pure devotee is one who has pure devotional service as the goal. So he is also, in one sense, considered to be a pure devotee. So in that sense, even having the association of people who have that goal, although they may be sadhakas who may also be struggling with anarthas, but they have their goal fixed in pure devotional service, so such kind of devotees, such kind of association is also recommended. And another verse, when you talk about association of devotees, King Muchukunda, when he got darshan of Krishna, he offers very beautiful prayers. In one of the prayers, he says, Bhavapavargo brahmato yada bhavet janasya tarhyachyuta satsamagama satsangamo yarhi tadaiva sadgatau paravareshe tvayi jayate matihi. So King Muchukunda says, when the material life of a living entity ceases, when it comes to an end, then that living entity gets the association of the devotees. And then, when that living entity associates with the devotees, then devotion to the Lord is awakened in that living entity. A devotion to that Supreme Lord, who is the cause of everything, that devotion to the Lord is awakened to that living entity. But actually, the Acharyas confirm in the purport that association of the devotees, that leads to actually stopping of the cycle of birth and death. But the verse says that when the material life comes to an end, then the person gets the association of the devotees. Why the order is reversed? The association of the devotees is the cause and the effect is the stoppage of the material existence. But the verse says that when the material existence comes to an end, then a person associates with the devotees. So Jiva Goswami, he actually clarifies that in the purport by saying that this is an instance of what is called as Atishayokti. Atishayokti means, in a statement, when the logical order of a cause and effect is reversed, then it is called as Atishayokti. Like when you want to emphasize something in particular, then sometimes this tool of Atishayokti is used, where the logical order of a cause and effect is reversed. So therefore, in this particular verse, because the Muchukunda wants to emphasize about the association of the devotees, therefore he says that he is reversing the cause and the effect. He is reversing the cause and effect. The cause is the association of devotees and the effect is the stoppage of the material existence, but he is reversing the cause and effect in order to actually emphasize about the association of the devotees. To express the swift action of a cause, one may assert the result before the cause. So therefore, that the result of association, which is the stoppage of the material existence, that is emphasized, that is mentioned before, and then the cause is mentioned, the association of the devotees. So in that way we see another verse which talks about the association of devotees. And also there is another beautiful verse which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tulayama lave napi na swargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishaha. The same verse comes three times in the Srimad Bhagavatam with a slight change in the words. And this verse was spoken by the sages of Naimisharanya. Another time it is spoken by Lord Shiva in the 4th canto, 24th chapter. And also the Prachetas also offer a similar prayer. So here they say that the sages are saying, let us not compare even a particle of devotee association. Tulayama lavenapi. Let us not compare even a particle of the devotee association to swarga or to liberation. Then what to speak of any other blessings of this world? Martyanam kim utashishaha. So, like, of course, these verses, it may appear, are they some exaggerated verses? Yeah, there is a concept of arthavada in the Vedic literatures. Sometimes certain things are exaggerated. Like, for example, when the karma, the results of the karmakanda activities are glorified, some statements which say that you can perform this yaga, you can go to heaven, and you can drink somarasa, and you will be eternal in heaven. So that kind of statements, they cannot be taken literally. They are actually statements which encourage a person to actually perform that yajna. Because those statements cannot be taken literally, because Krishna says in the Gita, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti, that once the pious credits are exhausted, a person comes to the material world. But then one may ask the question, but are these statements which glorify the process of bhakti, association of the devotees, do they also fall in the same category as an exaggerated statements? In fact, one Vaishnava Acharya, when Jiva Goswami mentions that when the statements which talk about the glories of bhakti or the association of the devotees, in fact, Rupa Goswami mentions this point in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu after he completes the description of the 64 angas, and he says that these statements which glorify the process of bhakti, they are not exaggeration, they have to be taken as it is. In certain cases, the results may be found exactly, but in certain cases, you may not find the results exactly. But one should take these statements as it is, because by these statements, we can transfer our mind from the fleeting material beauty to the transcendental realm. We can actually transfer our mind's meditation from the temporary fleeting material beauty to the objects and activities of the transcendental realm. So in this particular verse, the sages of Naimisharanya, they say that why the association of the devotees is glorified? Because by the association of the devotees, the sprout of bhakti appears, which is most rare. And let us not compare even the complete results of karma and jnana with a particle of association of devotees performing even sadhana bhakti. So somebody who is, when a person gets the complete result, when a person becomes mature in the practice of jnana and yoga, a person gets the complete result. And then on the other hand, there is a person who is performing sadhana bhakti. They are saying that let us not compare even the complete results of jnana and yoga with a particle of association of the sadhaka devotees. Then what then to speak of extended association with the devotees? If we cannot compare even with the particle of association with the sadhaka devotees, what then to speak of actually comparing with the extended association with the sadhaka devotees? And then what then to speak of comparing with the association of devotees who are in the stage of bhava or in the stage of prema? So there is no question of comparison. It is like comparing the association of the devotees with the association of the jnanis or the yogis or with the results of swarga or liberation. It is like comparing Mount Meru with a mustard seed. There is no match absolutely. So therefore, in this way, the association of the devotees is glorified. Another beautiful verse which talks about the association of the devotees, right in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, Yat Pada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhya Punant Yupasprishta Swardunya Aponu Sevaya. So Yat Pada Samshraya Suta. Samshraya means some ashraya, those who have taken complete shelter. Yat Pada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana. Prashamayana Shama, the word Shama means mental fixity. In the Uddhava Gita, in one of the chapters in the Uddhava Gita, when Uddhava asked different questions to Krishna about the definition of the different terms, one of the questions he asked is that, what is the meaning of Shama? And Krishna answers, Shamo man nishtata. Shama, real mental fixity, real mental concentration is when a person fixes his intelligence on me, when a person fixes his mind upon me. So, Yat Pada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana. That means that those people who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord and achieved the state of complete mental fixity on the Supreme Lord. So this is that Yat Pada Samshraya and Munaya Prashamayana, they are talking about the type of devotees. Those who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord, and because of that, as a result, they have achieved complete mental concentration. They have completely fixed in the Supreme Lord. And Yat Pada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhya Punanti Upasprishta. Upasprishta means simply by in contact with such devotees. What type of devotees? Samshraya Suta and Prashamayana. So Upasprishta means simply by mere proximity with such devotees. So what happens? Sadhya Punanti means immediately all the misgivings are eradicated. And Jiva Goswami says that immediately all the misgivings, all the sins, along with the different sinful tendencies, all the different vasanas are eradicated. Sadhya Punanti Upasprishta Yatpada Samshraya Suta Munaya Prashamayana Sadhya Punantyupasprishta Swardunyapunu Sevaya. And on the other hand, Swarduni refers to the Ganges, because Ganges was previously, it was present only in the Swargaloka, and later by the effort of King Bhagiratha, he brought the Ganges to the world. So therefore previously it was the river of the heavenly planets. ಸ್ವರ್ದೂನಿ ಆಪೋನ್ ಸೇವೆಯ ಬಟ್ ಸೊ ದರ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಯು ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಸಚ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಯು ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಸಚ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಬಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಇವನ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಜೀವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂದರ್ಭ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಫರ್ದರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಯತ್ ಪಾದ ಸಂಶಯಾಸೂತ ಮುನಯ ಪ್ರಶಮಾಯಣ ಹಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಮುನಯ ಪ್ರಶಮಾಯಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಂಶಯ ಇಟ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಎನ್ ಏಸ್ಥೆಟಿಕ್ ರಿಲೀಶ್ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ರಿಲೀಶಿಂಗ್ ದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ರಸ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಶುಗದೇ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೊ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ಸಚ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಸದ್ಯ ಪುನಂತಿ ಉಪಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ವರ್ದೂನ್ ಯಾಪೋನ್ ಸೇವೆಯ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಜೀವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂದರ್ಭ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ಡೇ ಹಿ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಏಕಾದಶಿ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಬುಕ್ ಹಿ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಹಿ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ನೈಮಿಷಾರಣ್ಯ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ರಿವರ್ ಹಿ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಇನ್ ವೈಕುಂಠ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಸಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಸಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಓಪನ್ಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಐಸ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ನ್ ಸೀ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ರಾದರ್ ಹಿ ಸಾ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಎ ರಿವರ್ ಸೊ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಮೆಲ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನೀಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಮೆಲ್ಟೆಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಮೆಲ್ಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ರಿವರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ರಿವರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಸೊ ದರ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ವರ್ದೂನಿ ಆಪೋನ್ ಸೇವೆಯ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಗ್ಯಾಂಜಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಒನ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಸಚ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಯರ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಸಿಮಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಯತ್ ಪಾದ ಸಂಶಯ ಶೂತ ಮುನಯ ಪ್ರಶಮಾಯಣ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಸಚ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಸೀ ಲೈಕ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಓಲ್ನ ಸಾಧನಾ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೂ ಫೋಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಗೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸಾಧ್ಯ ಅಂಡ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸಾಧನಾ ಟು ಅಟೈನ್ ದಟ್ ಸಾಧ್ಯ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಇನಿಷಿಯಲಿ ಹಿಸ್ ಗೋಲ್ ವಾಸ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್ ಗ್ರೇಟರ್ ದನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಬಟ್ ದನ್ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಬೈ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಹಿ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಮೇಂಟೈನ್ಡ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಗೋಲ್ ಟು ಅಟೈನ್ ದ ಗೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್ ಗ್ರೇಟರ್ ದನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಬಟ್ ಬೈ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಬಟ್ ವಿತ್ ಅ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಗೋಲ್ ಹಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸೋ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಸೋ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈಡ್ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಒರಿಜಿನಲ್ ಗೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್ ಗ್ರೇಟರ್ ದನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ರಾದರ್ ಹಿ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಸಿ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸಾಧನ ಅಂಡ್ ಎವೆಂಚುಲಿ ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂ ಸಾಧ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಅಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂ ಸಾಧ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಟೇಕ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಭರತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ he actually renounced his kingdom. He came to the forest. And in the forest, he came to the forest only with the goal of attaining Krishna prema. And he was very fixed in the process of executing sadhana bhakti. He was so much fixed in the execution of sadhana bhakti. In one of the Bhagavatam verse, it is described that once when he was engaged in actually worshipping the deities, he started developing different ecstatic symptoms. But he started actually cursing those ecstatic symptoms. With great effort, he suppressed those ecstatic symptoms. Because he felt that, these ecstatic symptoms are coming in the way of serving the Lord. Just like Daruka, once he was fanning Krishna, he started exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, and he felt that he started cursing those ecstatic symptoms because, this is coming in the way of my service to the Lord. So similarly, Bharat Maharaj, he was so much fixed in the process of sadhana bhakti that even he cursed his ecstatic symptoms. And he tried to suppress his ecstatic symptoms. But the same Bharat Maharaj, because of not having the association of the devotees, he actually got diverted from his original goal of coming to the forest, and he also got diverted from the process of sadhana bhakti. He became attached to a deer. In one place in the Bhagavatam, when he became attached to a deer, he was performing his puja, and then he was like, his mind was diverted that, where is the deer? And then he stopped his puja and he came and he started looking for the deer. He couldn't find the deer and he saw the footprints of the deer. And then he said that he felt, the earth has become so fortunate because of being decorated with the footprints of the deer. The earth has become a fit place for performing yajna because of being decorated with the footprints of a deer. So Bharat Maharaj, that Prabhupada says in one purport, I will read that purport. Prabhupada says that despite a very rigid life in devotional service, Bharat Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master when he became overly attached to a deer. Consequently, he became strongly attached to the deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. So Bharat Maharaj, we can see that because of lack of association with the spiritual master or the association of the devotees, he actually fell from his original goal, sadhya, and as well as a sadhana. And that is why Bharat Maharaj, when he later took the form of Jadabharata, in his conversation with Maharaj Raghuguna, he concludes his teachings with the lesson which he learnt from his previous, from his experience of the previous two lives. So generally, like when some lesson which you have learnt after going through some experience, then that lesson goes deep into the heart, and then you will find when such devotee repeating that lesson often. So the same Bharat Maharaj, in the form of Jadabharat, in the conclusion of his teachings, he concludes by saying that Raghugunaitat tapasana yati nache jaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina mahatpadara jobhishekam. So here he says, without bathing in the dust of the feet of the great devotees, one cannot realize the Lord. Raghugunaita tapasana yati. One cannot realize the Lord simply by the concentration of the mind. Here tapasya means the concentration of the mind. And na chejaya, simply by the performance of yajna, or nirvapanat, or simply by distributing food or by different philanthropic activities or grihadva or by building different shelters for the common people or by essentially by different philanthropic activities or na chandasa or by mere study of the Vedas and na chandasa naiva jalagni surya and nor by performance of different austerities within the water or being surrounded by the fire or the sun. So by all these things one cannot actually attain, one cannot realize the Lord. So the main thing is Mahat Pada Rajobhishekam. So because this is the lesson which Jadabharat had learnt. So in one class Gaurgopaltra was mentioning, he said that when we read the Shastra, we get knowledge. But when we hear from the devotees, we get the wisdom of how to apply that knowledge. And then when we actually apply that knowledge, we get realization. And when a person has a combination of Shastric knowledge and a practical wisdom and the realization of that wisdom, when a person has this combination, then a person becomes mature. So that is called as a maturity. So we see, in this way, various places association of devotees is emphasized. Like another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can contrast what was the result of association of the devotees with the offense to the devotees. So in the case of, if we see, Daksha Prajapati, he committed offense to the Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is considered to be the greatest among the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. So because he committed an offense to Lord Shiva, his heart became so hard. He became such a hard-hearted person that when Sati came to the sacrificial arena of Daksha Prajapati, and Sati was advised by Lord Shiva not to go to that sacrifice, but Sati still came to that sacrifice by rejecting the advice of Lord Shiva, and Sati came there, and Sati was welcomed by other people, but Daksha Prajapati did not even pay attention to Sati. And Sati noticed that in that sacrifice, oblations are being offered to all the devatas, but except Lord Shiva. And Sati became so angry, because she couldn't tolerate the offense being committed to Lord Shiva. But because Daksha is in the position of a superior, she didn't try to retaliate against Daksha. And she started speaking profound verses in the fourth canto, fourth chapter. She speaks some 10 or 13 verses. And she speaks that how when a person identifies with the material body, a person offends the great devotees. And she speaks such profound verses. And then she actually generates fire by yogic meditation. And she ends her life because she felt that whenever I think of my body, I feel ashamed because of this connection with Daksha and who has offended Lord Shiva. So therefore, I don't want to have this body. And thinking like that, Sati actually ended her life. But Daksha Prajapati is seeing that whole event. But the Bhagavatam explains in a verse in the fourth canto, fifth chapter, that Maitreya Rishi, he is using a word Mahamana or Mahatmana to describe Daksha. So he says, why Daksha is used by the word Mahatmana? Because Daksha Prajapati, although when he saw that Sati was prepared to end her life, Daksha had become so hard-hearted that he was completely unshaken. He was unshaken. He didn't have any feelings when he saw that his youngest daughter, usually a father has a great affection towards the youngest daughter, but despite seeing that youngest daughter ending her life, but Daksha Prajapati had become so hard-hearted that he didn't have absolutely any feelings. He was like calm and composed and unshaken. So this is the result of Vaishnava Aparad, that a person becomes so hard-hearted. And on the other hand, we have the example of Mrigari. Like Mrigari was a hunter who was actually half killing the animals. And he never had any thought in his mind when the animals were actually undergoing so much of pain right in front of his eyes. He never felt even thought in his mind, "Dodo, I am doing something wrong." He was so desensitive. But by the association of Narada Muni, being inspired by Narada Muni, when he gave up that particular hunting, when he started chanting the holy names of the Lord, he became so soft-hearted that later when Narada Muni and Parvata Muni, when they came to meet him, like he was actually very careful that he noticed some ants were on the path. He was very careful that the ants should not be stepped upon when the Narada Muni and Parvata Muni were walking. So he became so soft-hearted. So we can see the contrast between the Vaishnava Sangha or Vaishnava Seva versus the Vaishnava Aparad, how the person becomes hard-hearted or the soft-hearted. And we see that another point about association of devotees is that association of the devotees, it actually gives us hope. It gives us hope in our life. Like Chitraketu Maharaj, when his son died, the Bhagavatam describes that Chitraketu Maharaj was actually, when he was coming to that place, he was falling unconscious, and then he would get up, and he would fall unconscious, he would get up. So repeatedly he was falling unconscious and he was getting up. And he started lamenting at the top of the voice by holding the dead body of a son. But later, by hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, so Chitraketu Maharaj got a hope in his life. Ashwasito, he got a hope in his life. So that is why Prabhupada writes in a purport in the first canto that he says that the devotees of the Lord, they can inject the transcendental message into the hearts of the lamenting people, and in that way they can actually elevate the consciousness of the conditioned soul to a higher level. Because many times when you read the shastras, shastras can be like a tablet. Sometimes when the disease is very strong, somebody is having a very severe diarrhea or vomiting, even if you take the tablet, it will not work. You may just vomit out the tablet also. Sometimes when a person is severely lamenting or when is going through strong emotion, even by reading the shastra, it won't enter our heart. So such people may have to be given medicine through IV or injection. So the association of devotees can inject the transcendental message into the conditioned souls, and in that way they can transform them and give a hope in them. On the other hand, the association of the non-devotees, it actually gives hope to the conditioned soul, although the conditioned soul may have gone through he may be completely shattered in his attempt of sense gratification, in his attempt of lording it over matter. He might have been frustrated, but by the association of the non-devotees, he again gets a hope, "Oh, maybe I should try out in a different way." Like Jarasandha was thoroughly defeated by Krishna, but because of the advice of his other kings, he got a hope, "Maybe I should try again." So in that way, we see in the Shastra about the association of devotees, etc. And even Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that without the association of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Radha Kunda appears like the, has become like the gaping mouth of a ferocious tiger. And without the association of Rupa Goswami, Vrindavan has become empty and desolate, and Govardhan has become like a great python. So, in that way, we see several verses about the association of devotees. But on the other hand, scriptures also emphasize about the effort of the conditioned souls. One may get the association of devotees, but the living entity is also expected to develop the right attitude, and he is expected to put in effort the instructions or the guidance which he receives from the association of devotees. So if the living entity does not have the right attitude, then he may not get benefited from the association of devotees. So let us see some examples in this direction, some references. Like Bhartruhari, in his Niti Shataka, he speaks a few verses. I'll speak some of the verses. Bhartruhari says that, Agnya Sukham Aradhya. If somebody is ignorant, then he can easily be taught. And Sukatara Aradhyate Visheshagnya. And if somebody is learned, then he can be taught even more easily. Because the sign of learning is actually humility. And learned people are humble. And a humble person can learn the lesson even more easily. So learned person can even more easily be taught. But Jnana Lava Durvidagdam Brahma Apitam Naram Na Ranjayati. But somebody who is having a little knowledge, but who is proud of his knowledge, even if Brahma comes to him, then he cannot actually teach that person. Brahma apitam naram naranjayati. Another verse Bhartruhari says, Prasakhya mani muddaret makara vakra damshantarat. There is a jewel which is actually caught in between the teeth of the crocodile. Generally, the grip of the crocodile is considered to be a very strong grip. That is why when Gajendra was caught by the grip of a crocodile, he was not able to come out even after putting effort for 100 years. So here Bhartruhari says that one can even take out the jewel which is there within the grip of the crocodile. Which is a very difficult task. One can even take out that. But Samudram api santaret prachalada urmi malakulam. And it may even be possible to sail through the ocean which is filled with the timingala fishes, which is very dangerous in nature. And bhujangam api kopitam shirasi pushpavat darayet. And it may be possible to offer a flower garland to the serpent, which is a difficult task, but even if a person manages to put that, but natu pratinivishta murkagnya chittam aradayet. But it is not possible to change the mind of the prejudiced fools. So that means, just like the association of the devotees is glorified, the Shastras also talk about the stubbornness of the jiva to not change. So therefore, that there is an effort on the part of the living entity, which a living entity is expected to put. If he is stubborn not to get changed, even if a person gets the association of devotees, one may not change. Let us see some verses from the Bhagavatam. So Devahuti, she says to Kardama Muni, ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾರ್ಥೇಷು ಸಜ್ಜಂತ್ಯ ಪ್ರಸಂಗಸ್ತ್ವಯಿಮೇ ಕೃತಃ ಅಜಾನಂತ್ಯ ಪರಂಭಾವಂ ತಥಾಪ್ಯಸ್ತು ಅಭಯಾಯಮೇ. ಸೊ ಶಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಯು, ಬಟ್ ವೈಲ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಟು ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಂಜಾಯ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಜಾನಂತ್ಯ ಪರಂಭಾವಂ ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ನೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಆಸ್ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ವಿತ್ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ because although I associated with you for a long time, because I was attached to material enjoyment, of course Devahuti also speaks out of humility, we can say there is an element of humility, but she is saying that because I was attached to material enjoyment and because I did not know your exalted position, so therefore I did not actually get the true benefit of the association. And then she says, saham bhagavata noonam ವಂಚಿತೋ ಮಾಯಯಾ ದೃಢಂ ಯತ್ವಾಂ ವಿಮುಕ್ತಿದಾಂ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ನ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷೇಯ ಬಂಧನಾತ್. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಸಾಲಿಡ್ಲಿ ಚೀಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಇನ್ಸರ್ಮೌಂಟಬಲ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಡೆಸ್ಪೈಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಒಬ್ಟೈನ್ಡ್ ಯುವರ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಂಡೇಜ್, ಐ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೀಕ್ ಸಚ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. Because I did not seek such liberation, I did not actually derive the benefit of your association. So Prabhupada says that an intelligent man is a person who utilizes the opportunities in life. The first opportunity is to get the human form of life, and the second opportunity is to take birth in a family of great devotees or the cultured people. And the third advantage is to getting an opportunity to associate with the devotees of the Lord. So Devahuti obtained all three, but she felt that, I did not take advantage of her association, and this way have been thoroughly been cheated by the illusory potency. So therefore, because these verses were spoken by Devahuti when Kardama Muni was about to actually leave the home. So, like Kardama Muni begot 9 daughters, and then he was about to leave home, but and then Devahuti appeals that, but you have not given me a son, and I desire a son. After you give me a son, because these daughters will get married to somebody, but I want a representative of you in the form of a son. Please give me a son, and then you may take leave. That was the mood of appeal. So, Devahuti speaks those verses. So we see, like if we take the example of Ambika, Ambalika. So Ambika and Ambalika, they got the association of Vyasadev, who is the incarnation of Vishnu. So Vyasadev placed his virya on Ambika and Ambalika. So the virya of Vyasadev is like the Vishnu Prasad, the mercy of Vyasadev. But because Ambika and Ambalika, they are the living entities, because Ambika was not she was not having that welcoming attitude of receiving that Vishnu Prasada, therefore the child who was born was Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra, Vyasadeva said that he will be learned in the Vedas, he will be highly powerful, but he will be blind. So, Dhritarashtra, because he was the son of Vyasadeva, he was learned in the Vedas, he was actually powerful also. But because Ambika had that reluctance to receive the association of Vyasadeva, Dhritarashtra also had the reluctance to put the teachings of the Vedas into practice. So therefore, we see, because Ambika, as a living entity, she didn't have that attitude to receive that mercy of the Lord, therefore the result was Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra, he had the prajna chakshu. That means like he had the knowledge of what will happen in the future. So it is like somebody who has the knowledge of which stocks will go up in the stock market and which stocks will come down. So after having the knowledge, but somebody does not put the does not invest in the right stocks. So what a foolish person. So let's say Dhritarashtra had that prajna chakshu of what will happen, but still he did not act according to the right instructions. He had a reluctance to implement that right knowledge. And so we see, coming again to the point of Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni told Devahuti, Kardama Muni remembered the benediction offered by the Lord. When the Kardama Muni performed austerities, when the Lord appeared, the Lord told that I will appear as your son. So remembering that benediction, Kardama Muni told Devahuti that worship the Lord by practicing sense control, regulations, austerity and giving wealth. And then Kardama Muni said that being worshipped by you, the Lord will appear as your son and he will teach you about Sankhya Yoga and free you and cut the knot of attachment in your heart. And then Devahuti started worshipping the Lord with great worshipping the Lord who will be her future guru. And then according to the Bhagavatam, after a long time, the Lord appeared in the womb of Devahuti. So here we see one important point, that actually the Lord had given the word that I will appear as your son. But still, Kardama Muni, still Devahuti had to worship the Lord for a long time. That means she had to prepare her consciousness to receive the Lord. Although the blessing was already there, but she had to put effort on her part for a long time by worshipping the Lord, and then the Lord appeared. So therefore, because sometimes we think, when we think in terms of, say, mercy of the devotees or blessings of the devotees, so we think in terms of, okay, when we get the blessings or the mercy, we don't have to put effort on our part. We think like that. But here, according to the verses of the Bhagavatam, that although the Lord had given the word previously, but still Devahuti had to worship the Lord for a long time. Now, another example, in the personified Vedas prayers, when the Vedas offered a prayer that, like, we want to actually get the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. We want to get a love like the gopis of Vrindavan. So, in that purport, the Acharyas quote from the Brihad Vamana Puran, how previously the personified Vedas worshipped the Lord. And then they worshipped the Lord for a long time. And then the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared. And then the Vedas prayed that the desire we want is that we want to become your gopis. We want to get the love like the gopis of Vrindavan. And the Lord said, oh, this desire is very difficult to fulfill. It is almost impossible. But since I am sanctioning it, like, your wish must inevitably come true. So when the next birth of, when the Lord Brahma takes his birth next time, and at that time, you will take birth as a gopis. And then the Bhagavatam explains that, then the Vedas, they continued meditating on the Supreme Lord for a long time. That means we can see that, like, how the scriptures describe the effort on the part of the living entity and the blessings of the Lord and the devotees. So therefore, we see that Dhritarashtra, in the case of Dhritarashtra, like, he had the association of, he had the opportunity to be guided by Vyasadev, Vidura and Sanjaya. Like, what is the position of Vyasadev? The position of Vyasadev is that Vyasadev is glorious, being the son of Parashara and being the grandson of Vasishtha. And Vyasadev is glorious by his own contribution in the form of actually writing all the Vedic literatures. And Vyasadev is also glorious by giving birth to a son like Shukadev Goswami, who will become the who is the first speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like some people are glorious because of coming in a particular family, but on their own they may not have contributed something substantial. And some people are glorious because of their contribution, but they might have come in a low family. And some people might be glorious because of producing a son who is actually glorious, but on their own, they may not have actually contributed much, or they might have come in a low family. There were different combinations. Like for example, Hiranyakashipu was glorious being the son of Kashyapa Muni, and he produced a glorious son like Prahlad, but on his own, what was his contribution, what kind of a personality he was? Like Anga Maharaj, he was such a glorious king, he comes in the dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj, he comes the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu, and he himself was a glorious devotee, but his son turned out to be a rogue like a king Vena. But Vyasadeva was glorious in all respects, and Dhritarashtra had the opportunity to be personally guided by Vyasadeva. And there, but still, because he did not actually apply that guidance. So therefore, we see that just like the scriptures actually glorify the association of the devotees, scriptures emphasize about the importance of the living entity putting that effort to actually apply the guidance which he received from the association of the devotees. So that is why the 10th offense of the holy name is that to maintain the material attachments even after hearing the glories of the holy name. So therefore we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Bhagavatam is described is that, we see the Bhagavatam begins with the creation pastimes of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj asked about the creation pastimes of the Lord. And Shukadeva Goswami begins with the creation pastimes, and then he describes pastimes of the different other incarnations, like Varahadev, Vamanadev. And then he takes the narration to the crescendo by describing about the pastimes of Krishna in great detail. And then he takes it to the climax by describing the Rasalila pastimes of Krishna. But then towards the end of the Bhagavatam, and then after describing the Maushal Leela, and then the end of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami concludes the Bhagavatam. At the conclusion, he describes about the so many kings. Because he's saying that all these kings are only existing in namesake. So therefore, do not be attached to the identity as a king. And then at the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, 4th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes about the four types of annihilation. He begins with the creation, and at the end he speaks about the annihilation. The purpose of describing the annihilation at the end is that to actually drive the point that how we are actually so insignificant in the whole material realm. And then at the end of the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, 5th chapter, he reminds Parikshit Maharaj, oh, you are not the body. He says that you are not the body. So therefore, we see that he takes the pastimes to the crescendo, and then finally he remains about the basics. Because many times a person in hearing some esoteric subject matters, one may get carried away by that. One may actually fail to notice that, oh, I have not removed the anchor of my attachment towards the different material identity or the body. So therefore, at the end of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami remains about this identity as a king. He speaks about the annihilation pastimes and about the identity towards the body. So in this way, we saw some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam. To summarize what we discussed several verses which talk about the association of the devotees from Dhruva Maharaj, Muchukunda's prayers, the sages of Naimisharanya, etc. And then we discussed that how a living entity is also expected to put effort on his part I shared some examples from Bharatahari and from some teachings from Devahuti and Kardama Muni's episode on the prayers of the Vedas personified. So with this I'll stop here. Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.